Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The Sand Springs Cultural and Historical Museum is hosting its first major art exhibit when the Art of George Rodrigue, Shiny Happy Blue Dog, opens Saturday at the museum at the corner of Broadway and Main in Sand Springs. The late Louisiana Cajun painter is best known for his iconic Blue Dog series of works, an image that seemed to obsess the artist for over two decades, and the 20 works on display feature his latter-day imagery, painted on a reflective metal surface. But Rodrigue was also a painter of Cajun life, the people, landscapes, and institutions that contribute to this uniquely American culture. Paintings of live oaks, swamps, the Evangeline legend, as well as the people and gathering of southwestern Louisiana. Since his death in 2013, his wife, Wendy Rodrigue, has worked to bring his art to an ever wider audience. She's a writer and author of The Other Side of Painting. Today, she speaks about Rodrigue's passion for art and education, and this exhibit gives school children a chance to see original artworks up close and in person. She'll be speaking at area schools today, and will speak at the exhibit opening Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock at the Sand Springs Cultural and Historical Museum. She'll also be signing her book. The exhibit opens Saturday and continues on display through February 17th. Wendy Rodrigue, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich.
How do you view your role in keeping George's work out on public view? It's been 5 years since he died. And a lot of people do know Blue Dog, but they don't know a whole lot of the other work. And really, when an artist passes away, a lot of times that artist may stay in public view or may not.
Yeah. George used to say, in fact, along those lines, art takes on a life of its own long after the artist is gone. It's my life's work for the last 30 years to share George Rodrigue in as broad and quality a manner as possible. I started working for him in 1990, and we married a few years after that, and we traveled the world together, sharing his art, also very strongly with education outreach, too. He was my whole world, and when I became scared that he might not make it, he had cancer, and we did think he would make it all the way till the end. I believed it, but when I became scared, because we go into panics about those things, I called an uncle of mine who had lost his wife to cancer, my beautiful aunt, and I said, what am I going to do, Uncle Lynn, if I lose him? He's my whole world. And he said something that keeps coming back to me, and that is, he still can be. And so after he passed away, I was in a dark place for about 2 years. And I finally realized, as I slowly started crawling out of my hole, that he needs me. That all these things that were in both our heads are now just in mine, and I need to get them out and share them. And that I can continue my role, as it always was, with him and sharing his work, but that it's really more critical than ever because he's not there, you know, to do it too. So I started really in the most obvious way for me, which was through education. I started just going in and reading George's children's books to young children at schools, and I found that when I would break down or, you know, get upset in any way, the bear hugs came running, and before you knew it, I was mobbed with happy children. Boy, that's like medicine, as we all know. It's fantastic. So that made me braver, and I got stronger, and I decided to get organized about it. So I formed the Life and Legacy Tour, and at first, I thought it was only going to be one fall, last fall, and surrounded or basically centered on a programming that you have very strong right here in Oklahoma called A-plus schools. And we have that also in Louisiana, and it was brought to Louisiana, actually after coming to see it in Oklahoma and witness it here, by the George Rodrigue Foundation of the Arts. And of course, A-plus schools, for anyone unfamiliar, is a network of education programming in which all subjects, math, science, history, everything is taught through the visual or performing arts. So they're very happy places. You can imagine everybody's dancing, the children, the teachers. It's really great. So I structured it at first around that. Thought that would be a good way to come back. There are 21 Louisiana A-plus schools, but I learned real quick that there are a lot of other schools out there that want to see original paintings. And that's how I came back. You asked, how do I share the work? Well, how do you do that without your star of the show? George and I visited schools. They want to see him. They don't want to see me, but they want to see original paintings. And so that's what I bring. I bring paintings from our private collection that people would normally never see into the schools. I spend a lot of time with the kids. I talk openly about loss also. And I also use George's life story as inspiring for them, because it is. He started painting as a young child with polio, and there was no art in his schools.
Now, didn't he take a correspondence course at some point when he was a kid?
Yeah, he did. Well, you have done your homework. That's wonderful. He did. He took a correspondence course, and they were very surprised when they came knocking on the door and found out that he was a child of 12 and not.
Yeah. And this is your young Cajun boy down in New Iberia.
That's correct. And and I always try to make the students wrap their mind around this sentence, and I would ask this of your listeners too. The very first painting that George Rodrigue ever saw in his life was his own.
Mm.
Yeah.
Of course, he's very well known for the Blue Dog series, and you can't drive anywhere around New Orleans without running into a Blue Dog somewhere. And but is his reputation still very regional today, would you say? I mean, I know it's exhibited in various places, but really, I tend to think of him as still very much a Louisiana artist.
Well, I think he's a regional artist, but no different than, say, someone like Thomas Hart Benton, mm-hmm. Even Diego Rivera, somebody like that, that you associate with a region and their art grew out of a region, but they've really taken on a much larger and more universal appeal. That's certainly the case with George Rodrigue. His work is associated with Louisiana for some people, but not for most people. And in fact, as you pointed out, Rich, most people know George's work through the Blue Dog series, but of course, George has a rich history of, first of all, his Cajun paintings, painting Cajun genre paintings, 25 years of that. And it was interesting because George would talk about the early years of trying to sell those works and how he had no interest in Louisiana at all. People didn't like the way that he painted them, the Cajun people in particular. He's Cajun.
I was struck by something in your book where one of the first reviews he received in Lafayette was, "This artist has made the swamp look horrible and ugly and dull." And
yeah, it was a
monochromatic.
Painter makes Bayou Country dreary, monotonous place. And George would always say, and it just got worse from there. That review, though, helped him a lot because that was his very first review. And because he survived that, it taught him to really not pay attention to what other people said and just go his own way.
You mentioned the Cajun People series, but even before that, he was doing this series of works on the live oaks.
Oh, yes.
And he painted them very different than I think anybody's ever painted those typical Southern scenes.
Yes, and he painted them throughout his life.
Yeah, they were dark, and yet there was light coming from just like filtered from the background.
Yes, George actually went to art school, first at University of Louisiana at Lafayette, but he actually went to proper art school, I guess you could call it, out in California at the Art Center College of Design, still today a very prestigious art school. And he decided, you know, all of his classmates, for the most part, went on to New York afterwards to find their way. He went back to Louisiana. He wanted to show the world how Louisiana was different from other places. George always said the biggest surprise when he got to California was to find out it didn't look like New Iberia. Anyway, so when he got back to Louisiana, he wanted to see how other artists had captured it. So he went to museums like the Cabildo and the New Orleans Museum of Art. What he found was people had painted Louisiana in a very European style, big skies, the land small down below. And in fact, they were Europeans also painting Louisiana. And he said, Louisiana's not like that. Our skies are small. And the reason that George interpreted the skies as small is because he said in Louisiana, you're looking at the skies from beneath these massive oaks. It creates interesting shapes between the branches, with the sky, really not negative shapes, all positive shapes, and the sky would be small in the distance. So to create that on his canvas world, he broke complete new ground in American landscape painting. And that's why I'm saying, yes, he grew out of a region, but he's much wider than that. Because in Louisiana landscape painting, nobody had ever done this before, which is to simply cut the tree off at the top in your canvas world. And then suddenly that's happened. Interesting shapes and a small sky. He did that throughout his life. And there is a piece within the show currently at the Sand Springs Museum that shows that too.
Yeah. Now let's talk a little bit about the pieces that are in this show. This comes from a particular series that he did fairly late in life because he paints on metal.
Yes.
And stainless metal, so they're parts of the surface in which you can see your reflection. Mm-hmm. What was the impetus for this series?
It actually goes all the way back to his memory of having polio as a child when he first started painting. His biggest fear as a child and biggest terrifying memory, and in fact, he talked about it in the last week of his life. He was talking about this memory, was when his mother would take him to the hospital and he would see children in more advanced stages of the disease in iron lungs. And he was terrified not only that it might happen to him, but for them. He was really scared for them. All his life he talked about it. And I guess it was maybe in 2009, 2010, something like that, not long after we formed our foundation. He presented me this idea one day, and he said, I've been thinking a lot about those memories, and I want to do something in children's hospitals that perhaps will give them a positive memory, something so strong, so vibrant, that maybe it will override the terror that's happening when they're there. So he came up with this idea to paint on these highly reflective materials. It took him 2 years to get a material that would work, and huge pieces, 8 feet tall. And he painted them big blue dogs with bright symbols, hearts and flowers and candles and swirls and all those things. And then in the center of the dog, he would leave a heart. And in the heart, he would put no paint. And so when the child walked up or was wheeled up or carried up to the painting, they saw their face in the heart of the dog. And maybe they had a strong, vivid memory. Maybe for a moment even, they felt better. We unveiled these at children's hospitals around the country. The first was at Le Bonheur in Memphis, a lot of them in Texas Children's Hospital. They were extremely successful. And with each hospital, he would do art therapy with the kids. We would usually stay 5-6 days, and he would visit with every kid there. They were great. So this exhibition at the Sand Springs Museum are pieces from that series. They are none of the hospital ones because those are all in hospitals.
Right.
But they are other works that he did on this reflective material. It got him really excited. They're bright. They're joyous. And it's hard to go in there and not think Shiny Happy Blue Dogs. So.
And that is the name of the exhibit, Shiny Happy Blue Dogs. Currently on display, opening Saturday and running through February 17th at the Sand Springs Cultural and Historical Museum. My guest today is Wendy Rodrigue, the writer and wife of the late Louisiana artist George Rodrigue. And she also has a new book of essays titled The Other Side of Painting, which I want to talk about because this is really, it's really interesting because you're sharing stories about art, your reaction to art, of how George helped you see art in new ways. One of the first essays talks about how he helped you see Monet's water lilies in a completely new light. Your discussions, your debates, your disagreements about art. I know George O'Keefe seems to come up time and time again. He was not a big fan of George O'Keefe, and you are, apparently.
Yeah, I am. And I live today as often as I can when I'm not on the road in Santa Fe, New Mexico. George O'Keefe country right there with Abiquiu. So I think about that a lot. But it's interesting because I did hear George kind of give in on O'Keefe. We did an art presentation one time around an exhibition that was curated by the New Orleans Museum of Art called From Copley to Warhol and included some fabulous pieces from their permanent collection. And one was an incredible O'Keefe scene. And George was talking about his landscapes with the crowd, and he was talking about how the landscape that I'm painting is not a specific place. It's more what I'm seeing in my heart that I'm interpreting. And just then he looked over, and there was that O'Keefe painting right next to where he was talking, and he looked at me and rolled his eyes, and he said, okay, I have to admit it. She did the same thing in her own way, and it was pretty brilliant.
Yeah. Let's talk about the most famous image that we're used to seeing, the blue dog or loup-garou, which I guess it came, am I saying that right? Is it loup-garou?
Loup-garou, yeah.
Yeah, loup-garou, which is a werewolf story. I guess it came from Cajun areas. It comes from many areas, but it was adapted in Cajun areas. That's where the blue dog came from. It was a
That's one of the ways, one of the places it started. Yeah, the blue dog, a lot of people have a hard time grasping this, that the blue dog is something George invented. So it really is sparked primarily from two ideas. One is this loup-garou legend, which means, werewolf or crazy wolf. And it was a story his mother told him when he was a little boy. Basically, baby George, you better go to bed or the loup-garou is going to eat you tonight or something like that.
I've heard a story of you better follow the rules of Lent or you'll turn into a loup-garou.
There you go. Yeah. So it was one of those threatening things. And George, of course, as we were saying, went on to paint Cajun legends and stories. And that was one of them he wanted to paint. Now, there's no picture of what it looks like, so he could do whatever he wanted. He would go through his photo files. I think if I had to was forced to pigeonhole George into an artistic genre or school of thought or art. I would say he's a surrealist above all else. I mean, he takes elements from real life, but he completely fabricates all of his scenes. And so this was no different. He pulled photographs of a dog he had had years before, but the key is how he photographed her. She used to sit up at night and watch him paint, and he didn't photograph her by looking down on her. He wanted to symbolically show in the photographs that she's equal with him, just as special, just as important, that all living creatures are important and special. So he would get down on the floor with her, eye level, and hold his camera up and snap her photo. So all these photos, as a result of her, are like a person. That is why this is not a Where's Waldo thing, these paintings. There's not a little dog down by your feet. It's not hidden, any of those things. It is painted like a person, eye level, so there's an exchange. So what George did in that very first little series of paintings, he used those photographs, painted the loup-garou under a dark night sky, thought that that might cast a blue-gray shade on its fur. They had red eyes. They were in cemeteries, most of them, under big moons. They were scary, haunting, legend interpretations. Like all things in life, it grew and changed. He didn't see it as standing out from any of his other works. It was in with all of them. The way it all shifted for him in his mind, and I always loved the way he told this, he was having an exhibition in California at a gallery there. It was in 1988, and it was about 50 paintings. There were a few of those mixed in, Cajun paintings, and he overheard the people there say, "I like this blue dog. What is this?" And George said, "Blue dog, blue dog. What are they talking about?" And he said, and he would always put his hand up by his ear and kind of turn his hand, and he'd say something clicked. And the next day, when he was back at his easel sometime after thinking about this, he painted this gigantic painting of just this huge dog. It was the first painting in 25 years he had done without a landscape in it. 25 years. And it was the most exciting thing he had ever painted. For himself. Everyone else hated it. He was blown away. And it's interesting because the Blue Dog series took on a life of its own and ultimately sprang from George's imagination. Yes, roots of loup-garou, roots of his studio dog Tiffany, but ultimately it was those things coming together and his imagination turning it into something else.
And that was the painting that you first saw as you walked by his gallery one day, wasn't
it? Yes, that's right. That is the painting.
And perhaps it changed your life as well.
Oh, no question. No question. I was actually in school studying. I was in graduate school at Tulane studying Northern Renaissance art. That was my area. I didn't even care for modern art. Yeah, it blew me away.
What was it about it that caught your eye?
Well, I walked into the gallery and I knew George's Cajun works. This was at the end of the space, and I was so alarmed by it. I was struck by it on a gut level. It shocked me. I didn't recognize it as a dog at all. I didn't know what it was. It was just a very powerful piece of art that was mysterious and that I wanted to be around and contemplate. I wanted to experience slow art with this piece. And even today, it's my favorite painting, not just by George, but by anyone.
What was really interesting, I think, about George's work is, yes, the blue dog is a big part of his work as time went on, but he kept painting all the other series and often combined them with Blue Dogs, the Louisiana Oaks, the Cajun People, the Evangeline legend, and Blue Dogs. He kept coming back to these over and over again.
It's true. George never abandoned a subject. He saw these subjects as his own. He used to say in the last year when he would paint the oak trees, he'd say it's like visiting an old friend. And that's another thing too that reminds me. People think because they think they see the blue dog all over when they go to New Orleans, for example. You do, but what you see are reproductions. Unless you see the blue dog works at the New Orleans Museum of Art or you see them at the gallery, which we try to span. I curate with my wonderful curator, Dana Holland Bikert, these amazing exhibitions that span 40 to 50 years of work. So people really get a feeling for George Rodrigue. But they don't know. It's not the same seeing it in a book. It's not the same seeing a poster, seeing it online. The original paintings are vibrant, shocking, tremendous works. And one of the most telling things to me about that was in 2008, the New Orleans Museum of Art held a retrospective of George's work. And I was there every day for 2.5 months doing tours through. And people were standing in line. There were lines gushing out the door all the time. And you would hear, I would overhear people in line because maybe the wife had dragged the husband there or the kids had dragged the parents. And I don't want to see this, or I've seen this blue dog everywhere, all this. And they'd go in grumbling. I never heard any grumbling coming out. I constantly heard people say how shocked they were, that they had no idea and that they thought they knew, but they didn't.
Was it just the fact that reproductions don't do the image justice? Or I've always found the eyes were really striking, and the eyes would vary quite a bit. The eyes could denote fear, trepidation, wonder, and other emotions as well.
That's a wonderful observation, and George often said that the eyes were really, in some ways, the key to the whole thing, along with the staticness of the shape of the dog itself.
Now, the dog's shape never changes.
Right. It doesn't run or bark. There's no backside, anything like that. So that's very key to the success of all of it. And by success, I mean artistic success of it. So, yes, I people are surprised when they see it, and I do think it's partly because reproductions can never capture it. But I think also there are elements of scale, for example, that would surprise people. Also, I think in our fast-paced world, we have a tendency to look at things and just go, oh, that's the same thing again and again and again and again, particularly if you think of things in a cartoon-type atmosphere or environment or something like that. This is not that. This is fine art. It requires slow looking. And when you do that and you take the opportunity to do that, you have an exchange with the painting, this eye-level entity that takes on universal questions that don't solve themselves. Why am I here? What does it all mean? George used to say that with his Cajun paintings, he was trying to preserve the past, preserve something he thought was dying and going away. And that with the blue dog paintings, he was able to comment on life today and ponder the future.
My guest today is Wendy Rodrigue, the writer and wife of the late Louisiana artist George Rodrigue. The Sand Springs Cultural and Historical Museum presents the art of George Rodrigue, Shiny Happy Blue Dog. It opens Saturday and runs through February 17th. She also has a new book titled The Other Side of Painting, a collection of essays. I think some of them were blog posts. The others are original essays that you've been writing about art, about how George viewed art and about his own career and his own work. And it's a very interesting book as well.
Thank you.
I'm glad you mentioned the Cajun paintings because I like the blue dog, but when I saw Aioli Dinner, which is probably his most famous non-blue dog work, I saw a completely different new side of George Rodrigue, and I really do love the Cajun People series. The old country school photographs that he would recreate and create his own atmosphere of them because he would put them in swamps. You know, they're just really amazing, amazing pieces.
It's so true, and I think I mentioned earlier that George said the local people didn't like the way that he portrayed them. It was really interesting because, well, here we are in Tulsa, and you are such a fan of those works. George would have been the first person to love that, and he'd say, ah, you see, because he said the further he strayed from home, the more people really appreciated these works. And he said that taught him something very valuable, and that was that it was not as much what he was painting as how he painted that was key and that grabbed people and allowed them to see this culture. And it also reminds me of a great example of that. There was an exhibition of George's work in the 1970s in Boston, at a gallery in Boston, and Ted Kennedy introduced George at the exhibition. It was obviously all Cajun paintings, and every painting in the show sold. But when Ted Kennedy introduced George, he introduced him as a Cajun artist.
Cajun?
Yes. So here George was, the Cajun artist. Nobody knew what Cajun was. It was before Black and Red Fish, he and Paul Prudhomme, you know, splashed on the scene. And he sold every painting in the show.
Well, there is something great. You know, the Aioli Dinner depicts this old tradition, I guess, of a group of friends. And probably there's some snootiness involved. It's like you have to be a certain person to be invited to this. But huge outdoor tables, big house in the background, set in the swamp, the live oaks overhead. And yet the painting itself is pretty, I don't want to say drab, but monochromatic, I would certainly say. And it's almost like you're looking at an old photograph in a way. And yet, I'm sure it's an imagined landscape, too.
It's a combination of photographs and an imagined landscape, but also a real house, the Darby house. But none of the photographs show them on that, you know, he pieced it all together, yeah, that kind of a thing. Yeah, the reason that the painting is so monochromatic and that color scheme, it's interesting that you mentioned a photograph, because George, back in the early days in particular, he didn't have the money to custom make frames, or really to buy frames. And he used to go to the flea markets and all those things. He would buy other people's paintings or images in the frames, and then he would use the frame. And he would do something that he called paint to the frame. The Ugly Dinner is a great example of that. There was a photograph of President McKinley in that. Huge photograph. He pulled that out. And that's why one whole side of the frame is really dark and dusty still, because it had been in there, you know, it was portrait style instead of landscape style.
But it was
style.
It's also sort of sepia, too.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So when he painted the Aioli Dinner, he stretched the canvas to fit that, and he painted the painting to that frame. That's why it's in that color scheme.
Interesting.
It's matching that.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, I was intrigued by something your book brought up. It says, you know, there are a series of paintings by George that are pretty well known to art lovers, but there's also a series of paintings by George that have never been on public view, that he just put away. Will those ever be shown?
We just showed a large number of them at the Orr O'Keeffe Museum of Art in Biloxi. The show just closed. It was fantastic. It was all paintings George did, most of them in the last year of his life. George was diagnosed with cancer in May of 2012, and we were in Houston for the next 3 months with the treatments. And once he was well enough to paint again, it was really interesting to see what he would do. You know, what do you do when you've been diagnosed with an illness like that and you're facing losing your life, the end of your life? And I guess we're all facing the end of our life, but more imminent than you might think. And, well, you paint what you most want to paint. And he would paint for us, for our house, and many large-scale pieces, many joyous pieces, but also many pieces that ponder our existence. A lot of return, again, to his old friend, the oak tree, and this light in the distance. In the early days of painting the Cajuns, he talked about that light as the hope of the Cajuns to make a home for themselves in the swamps after Le Grand Arrangement of the 1755. And indeed, George is descended from four Rodrigue brothers who walked from Canada at that time to South Louisiana. But in his later works, he talked about it as hope for everyone, more universal hope that maybe tomorrow will be better than today. And I would say that in those late paintings that last year, it was another kind of hope. They're hard for me to look at or talk about without, it's difficult still, but he was very excited about them. And yes, we have shown them, and I look forward to showing more of them. Part of the issue is venues, because they're so large, some of them, and to show them properly, they really need high, high ceilings and space enough to step back to really, really appreciate them.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing his work here in Oklahoma, first time ever.
First time ever, my first time ever to be here. You have a dynamic community here, and I'm just really grateful that the community wants to learn more and experience more of George Rodrigue. Thank you.
Wendy, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Wendy Rodrigue, the widow of the late Louisiana Cajun artist George Rodrigue, speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. The Sand Springs Cultural and Historical Museum is offering an exhibit titled The Art of George Rodrigue, Shiny Happy Blue Dog. It opens Saturday with a talk by Wendy Rodrigue at 5 o'clock at the museum located at the corner of Broadway and Main Street in Sand Springs. The exhibit continues on display through February 17th. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.